Well, you're going to find out about the Great West Texas Crow Kill. And I'm sure you've never heard about that before. You're going to be an expert after tonight. Highway patrol in a lonesome highway in West Texas. Well, they were patrolling, and they came across a wide number, large number of crows that were dead on the side of the road. They immediately got concerned because they'd never seen one quite this large before. So they called, being concerned about a virus, and this virus being contagious to humans, they called in a group of pathologists. These pathologists took samples and they tested and did everything and found out there was absolutely no virus and there was absolutely no chance of any human infection, which was really good news. But they were still puzzled and they wanted to find out what had happened if they could. So they called in a group of ornithologists. Now, an ornithologist is a guy that studies birds all of his life. I don't know why anybody would want to do that. But that's what they do. And they can talk bird and everything. So they came in and they did samples and they did all these things. And during their microscopic evaluation, they discovered something that embedded deep in the feathers of these dead crow were what seemed to be small paint particles. Following this up, they gathered some and they sent it off to the testing lab. And the results came back, yes, they were paint particles, but they were a very special kind of paint. This was the paint that only went on trucks. Well, they were able to finish their report, and they wrote the report, and it says the American crow is a highly intelligent bird. They're smart. They do a lot of things that are especially nice. For instance, if a crow is flying over and he sees potentially a gourmet roadkill meal, he tells the other crows. And these crows are smart enough to where they set watch crows out surrounding this place while the rest of them gouge themselves in this marvelous roadkill meal. Well, it just so happens that the watch crows could all say car, car, but none of them could say truck. Sam got it. I'm really glad that he got it. Yeah. So that's good. I wanted you to hear that story. You know, I got a lot of stories like that, and so maybe next week we'll hear another one. Tonight, we're going to talk about heaven. You know, preachers don't preach enough about heaven. You know, you go, when is the last time you heard a sermon on heaven? I mean, you just don't get much heaven these days, and we need to. Now, how are you coming in reading the Bible through? I hope you're still on schedule. Heaven is mentioned 700 times in Scripture. So if it's mentioned 700 times in Scripture, you shouldn't go more than 3 or 4 days until you run across a verse of Scripture that has heaven in it. When you run across that verse of Scripture that has heaven in it, I want you to do something for me. It'll bless your life. I want you to just pause. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to think about heaven for a few moments. And undoubtedly, in our lesson this evening, you'll find a number of things to reflect on about heaven. Now, you'll be reading along in Scripture, and I've picked out a couple of verses. You may be at Psalms 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Monday evening, my wife and I were headed to our daughter's house to eat red beans and rice. Now, it don't get better than red beans and rice. And she knows how to do the red beans and rice. And she knows that her daddy loves red beans and rice. And we were driving down Macon Road, and it was about dusk, and we looked in the heavens to the west, and it was drop-dead gorgeous. Just drop-dead gorgeous. We've been on a lot of cruises, 35 to be exact. And on the cruise, I have an album of pictures of sunrises and sunsets. And when you see those, you can't help but understand somewhat there is a God we serve in heaven. And nobody can do it like he can do it. Now, I have to admit to you, Janice has not seen many sunrises. She's seen a lot of sunsets, but sunrise is really not her thing. I've made her see a few, and that's fine, and then she'll go back to bed, and that's fine. That's what she does. But that's a verse you're going to run into. You're going to run into Psalms 116, verse 15. Very few people even realize that this verse is in the Bible. This is what it says. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. What an amazing thing. And then we're going to see Psalm 35:5. It says, your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. And then we have Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then we have Hebrews 1:10. You, Lord, are the beginning to lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. You're going to run into those verses, and you're going to run into hundreds more. So when you do that, just remember, give it some time, give it some dwell time, and give it some time to just reflect on what our Lord and Savior has done for us. Now, I want you to open your Bibles to John chapter 14. Open your Bibles to John chapter 14. There are a couple of things here I want to share with you before we get into our outline. And it says, this passage of Scripture, by the way, is a much used passage at a funeral. Much used at a funeral. I've used it myself at funerals, and many people do. And this is what it says. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, I want to tell you, in many, many sermons, whatever preacher is doing that service, you will hear something like this. A band of angels come from heaven, and the Shekinah glory of God dwells in that place, and those angels surround that bed, and they escort that man to heaven. Well, I've got news for you. It don't happen that way. It ain't going to happen that way. What God has in store for us is a better way. Because look what he says in verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, isn't that better? When Jesus calls us home, he's going to come, take us by the hand, and take us home to heaven. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. Now, I want you to turn over to Revelation chapter 21. Get your outline out, and we'll fill in the blanks. I want to tell you that heaven is a real place. We need to understand that. And all the imagery that Scripture tells us about heaven, they use real things. They use walls, they use houses, they use mansions, they use gates, they use streets, they use all those things. So heaven is a real place, a real place. Point number two, heaven is not only a real place, it is a bountiful place. I want to back up. I forgot to read the scriptures for real places, verses 16 and 17 in Revelation chapter 21. It's tough to get old. Y'all going to get there one day. This is what it says in verse 16 and 17. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. 12,000 furlongs is 1,500 miles. 1,500 miles. So the imagery of heaven is describing a precise size of heaven. It's 1,500 miles this way, and this way. And it never runs out of space. Never will run out of space. Isn't that amazing? But not only is it that real place, heaven is a bountiful place. Look what it says in verses 18 through 21. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper. Now, jasper is quartz. Now, I've told you a couple of the weird hobbies that I have. Another weird hobby that I have is I watch the Liquidation Channel on DirecTV. It's channel 226. I watch jewelry channels. I've done it for years. I've watched it so long that one year for Christmas, my children gave me a thick book of gems, how they are, how hard they are, the color, what happens, and all that kind of stuff. And I enjoy looking at that. As a matter of fact, I use that book on some of these gems that we're going to read about here. But look what it says, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony. Chalcedony is a type of quartz. Quartz is a beautiful gem, and it comes in many colors. It's just gorgeous. The fourth emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. That's red and white quartz. The sixth, sardius. That's a red stone. The seventh, chrysolite. Chrysolite is a yellow stone. It's really, really pretty. Chrysolite. The eighth is beryl. It's a white metal like aluminum. The ninth, topaz, which is drop-dead gorgeous. The tenth is chrysoprasus. The 11th, hyacinth, and the 12th, amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. That's amazing. It's unbelievable the beauty that it must be. Now, I want to tell you a little story that I thought of as I was preparing this lesson. And that's a story about my mom. My mom has been in heaven now for a while. We're from Osaka, Mississippi, south of Macomb, Pike County. And my mom was somewhat famous in the south part of Pike County for her cooking. She was a phenomenal cook. And she made the most famous dessert that I've ever had, that I've ever tasted. Lemon icebox pie. Her recipe for lemon icebox pie, and she has handed that recipe down to Janice, and Janice knows how to make it just like Mama made it, and it is the favorite dessert of me and the favorite dessert of Greg, our son Greg. Now, she takes that, making that pie, she does cookie crumbs for the crust. And then she puts vanilla wafers all around the back. Then she puts the pie in and the meringue on top, puts it in the oven for whatever time. And when it comes out, the little ridges on the meringue have begun to brown, and it just sets aside the beauty of that pie. Now, we created a different name for that pie. Instead of calling it lemon icebox pie, we call it cookie pie. Cookie pie. And the cookies are significant because when someone asks, "You want a piece of pie?" "Yes, I want a piece of pie." "How big do you want it?" And we tell them, by the number of cookies, the size of the pie. It says, "We want three cookie slice." Now, three cookie slice is a healthy slice of pie. It's marvelous. The pies do not last very long at our house. They are eaten up. Now, I tell you that story to say this to you. I did a poor job of trying to describe to you how to make lemon icebox pie or how to make cookie pie, but that's as much as I know. Now, my wife can tell you in detail how to do that, but I've described it to you, and I've told you how good it was, and I've given you all of these words about describing this pie: cookie crust, vanilla wafers, pie, meringue, all this kind of stuff. But until you taste or have a slice of that pie, you know, you have good ideas about it, and you reason that it may be delicious and good, but you don't know until you have a slice of that pie. Well, the imagery of God's word in describing heaven here with all the jewelry, it's everywhere, different colors, beautiful radiance in everything. We're not going to know just how beautiful heaven is, just how beautiful our Lord made it for us until we go there. Man, I'm telling you, if you're a Christian and you love Jesus and you have a personal relationship with Him, you got to want to go there. I mean, it is really something. You got to want to go there. And I do. And the closer I get to it, the more I want to go there. It's amazing. I thought you'd enjoy that story about that. And it's amazing, a bountiful place. Well, look at item number three. Not only is heaven a real place, and not only is it a bountiful place, it's an eternal place. It's an eternal place. Years ago, I was listening to a sermon. I don't even remember the preacher's name. But he gave a definition of eternity that I've never forgotten. And when I have an opportunity to share that, I always share it. You know, the human mind is finite. In other words, we want to put boundaries on everything that we see. We can't handle infinity. That was the hardest thing in math ever, infinity. This is what he says. If you take a block of granite, and you know granite is one of the hardest obstacles there is in the world, and you take the block of granite and it's 1 mile on each side, that is one large block of granite. And this large block of granite is sitting out there. And on January the 1st, a woodpecker flies from somewhere. And he lights on that block of granite. And what that woodpecker does is swipes his beak one time on that block of granite. And then he flies away. And he comes back the next January the 1st. He lights. He swipes his beak on that block of granite. And when that granite is worn down to nothing, eternity will have just begun. Man, that's something. Never heard a definition better than that one. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. It says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Eternal in the heavens. Heaven is an eternal place. Praise the Lord for that. But not only is heaven a real place, a bountiful place, an eternal place, heaven is a special place. I love special things. Heaven is a special place. Look at in chapter 21 of Revelations, beginning in verse 22. Verse 22, "And I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did light it, and the Lamb is the lamp of it. And the nations of them who are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. For there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nation into it." It's a special place. I mean, it's a special place. I heard a story not long ago about a high school football team. And this was a good team. They always play for the conference championship. And there was a young man on this team that was a running back. And he was the fourth rated running back on the team. He just didn't measure up to the others. And they're coming into the championship conference game. The head running back got sick. The next two running backs got hurt. And they had the fourth rated running back that had to carry the ball. And it was amazing. He did everything that you were supposed to do. He ran like a demon. He caught passes. He blocked. He scored four touchdowns. It was unbelievable what this young man did because no one had ever seen him perform like that ever before. After the game, in which they won handily the conference championship, the players had gone, and this young player was hanging around a little bit, and the coach came up to him and said, "Son, I don't understand this." He says, "You were magnificent tonight. You did everything that I asked you to do, and you did it well. You are just the hero of the game. But I'm puzzled. Can you tell me what happened?" He says, "Well, coach, it's like this. You know, my dad, who was blind from birth, died last week. He went to heaven. And you see, what happened was, this was the first time he had ever seen me play. I don't know if it happens that way in heaven, but it's really a good story. And I'd like to think that things like that do happen. But it was amazing. It was amazing. Heaven is a special place. The home of the Savior. Home of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's a special place. But not only is it a special place, it's a destination place. You want to go there. You want to go there. You want to go there. Romans 10:13 says this, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whoever. Look at verse 27 in Revelation chapter 21. It says, "And there shall in no way enter into it anything that defileth, neither he that worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they who are written in the Lamb's book of life." They who are written in the Lamb's book of life. What does that mean? It simply means that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you have a personal relationship with Him. It's very special. You believe He's the Son of God. You believe He suffered, bled, and died on that cross at Calvary. You believe that He was placed in that tomb. And you believe that He walked out of that tomb alive and well after 3 days, because He had paid the penalty for our sin and paved the way for us to take advantage of the plan that He developed prior to the foundations of the world. And that plan was that down through the centuries, if anybody trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and had a personal relationship with Him, he would be with me in paradise. He would be what we call saved. and no one could pluck him out of our hand. No one. It's a destination place. Now, I want to tell you that one day, Jesus is going to be ready to come take us home. He's going to take us by the hand, and he's going to take us to a real place. He's going to take us to a bountiful place. He's going to take us to an eternal place. He's going to take us to a special place. He's going to take us to a destination place. And he's going to take us to a perfect place. And heaven is going to celebrate, like it says in Psalms 116, verse 15. He's going to take us to heaven. And in heaven, there are going to be many of our friends waiting to greet us there in heaven. Oh, what a day that will be to be with our Lord in eternity and for eternity. Well, there's one more thing. Heaven is a perfect place. Heaven is going to be a place of absolute perfection. Now, we need to understand that Jesus was the only perfect man ever. Ever. Perfect is a term that all too often we don't really think of it enough because it is absolutely perfect in every way. In every way. I think God's Word is perfect. It's without error. We saw back on the creation lesson that we had the reasons that it's perfect and how misled so many people are about the creation. It's a perfect thing. And when he comes and he takes us to heaven, there's going to be no more pain, no more crying, no more sighing, and no more dying, because Jesus is there. He's made a home for us, and one day, he's coming back to take us there. When we had the lesson on creation, I told you about a verse in a Southern gospel hymn. That verse means so much to me, and I think it should mean so much to Christians. I want to tell you that verse again, because this is what and the way that we should be. And it goes like this: Lord, make me a vessel of mercy. Lord, make me a vessel that's true, and fill it with love and compassion, and make me a vessel worthy of you. I want to thank you for coming tonight. Y'all be careful. It's supposed to start raining here in a little while. Be careful when you get home. I have one more night with you next Wednesday night. I'm looking forward to that. So y'all be sure and make arrangements to come. I've prepared something that's very special, I think, for you. And God will be in this service with us. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you, Father, for the truth of your word, and we thank you, Father, that we have been able to disseminate it enough tonight to touch people's heart. We pray, Father, as we continue to read through your word, It will use all the tools and all the things that we have available to us to learn more about you, and that we will be a vessel worthy of you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been blessed. Amen. Tonight, you may realize that you don't have that assurance. You don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, and we'd like for you to have that before you leave here by praying that simple prayer and asking God to forgive you of your sins, to come in your life and be your Lord and Savior. Or maybe you've at the place where you need to be baptized. You'd like to schedule that. You know you're a Christian but never been baptized. You can schedule that tonight. Or maybe you decided that Bellevue is a place for you to have your church home. You can do that as well. Brother John Addison will be here. John Caldwell, one of our great deacons, is here to receive you. If God's dealing with you in some way, whatever God wants you to do, wants you to have that opportunity to respond to his invitation tonight. Great old hymn, Face to Face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? Stand with us. Let's sing that together.